50.
Oh, hey, Watson.
Just getting jacked up for the summer with my pull-up routine.
No, Buzz, we get jacked up because electric rates often go up during the hot summer months. Good thing people can lock in an affordable electric plan with APG&E.
Learn more at APGE.com.
Moncrief on News Talk.
If you're still packing a school lunchbox for the kids, you may be familiar with certain themes your desire to get them to eat something healthy balanced against what they actually eat. For instance, that piece of fruit that goes out and comes back untouched. How that contrasts with what you used to get in lunchboxes, items that were ostensibly healthy as long as you didn't look too closely at the ingredients. We're joined by Dr. Martin McInerney from TU Dublin. Martin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Yeah, can you remember what you used to get?
Oh, I do indeed, yeah. No, it was always a sandwich. But the great thing, I suppose, about me is that my lunch, and again, I had no respect for it at the time, is that my mother was a great baker, so she always made these sort of fruit buns or like queen cakes or fairy cakes, whatever you call them. And so there was always one of them in my lunchbox. But sure, I had no respect for it because it was there all the time. But I would be looking at my friends who would have maybe a club milk or who might have a packet of crisps. And quite often in the yard, I'd be bartering my fairy cake or something with them for a packet of crisps, you know. And even meeting some of them like at funerals or at, you know, class reunions and stuff like that, they'd be saying, "Oh, does your mom still make them buns?"
Oh, God, that was nice. But yeah, as you say, when you're a child, you never kind of respect those things. Do you get the sense of that, like, you know, a couple of decades ago, that the lunches were demonstrably less healthy than what kids perhaps can get today?
Well, it's funny. There's a whole sort of history because, like, I suppose there's a big talk at the moment because a lot of the kids are getting their hot school meals now. And then there's a whole hoo-ha about that at the moment, about like that, you know, there's one very positive thing about the hot school meals is that there was, you know, a lot of principals reported that around 20% of Irish school children were in food poverty and were coming to school hungry and all that sort of stuff. And actually what hot school meals are, what sort of free lunches for everyone does, that it manages to sort out that 20% without actually stigmatizing them, because everyone gets it, you know. Yeah. Whereas if you're only giving it to sort of a certain percentage that you deem maybe needed, you know, suddenly that they stand out straight away like a sore thumb, and you're nearly othering them straight away, you know. And actually, food is an interesting thing to sort of other, you know, because either your food or your language or your clothes makes you stand out straight away. Like, you know, there's a lot of written about sort of, you know, Asian parents sending their, you know, whether it's sort of tiffin boxes to Indians or whether it's those sort of bento boxes or something in with their kids, and their kids in a Western school, you know, feeling that they just wanted to fit in with the other kids. You know what I mean? Even though probably the other kids would love to try those foods, you know, a bit like my mother's buns and stuff like that, you know. So these things are different, you know. So it's hard to tell. I suppose we have moved into a world of ultra high processed foods, and that is an issue, you know. It's a huge issue, you know, because I suppose the quality of the bread, like when I said about having sandwiches and cheese and all that sort of stuff, like it was sort of like probably a batch bread or a double loaf or whatever, you know, which would be much better maybe than the you know, after the some of the sliced pans you'd get now and stuff like that, you know. So, and also my mother always made brown bread, so we'd have quite often brown bread and stuff like that. So it changes, you know. But again, all of these depends on the individual's experiences.
Yeah, and there have been prior to the introduction of the free lunches. Now, you know, there were various schemes that were trying to get kids to eat healthily. I don't know. Did they work?
Yeah, well, it wasn't just to get them eat. Like, it was, some of them was just to get them eaten. Yes. You know, like all the way back to 1914. So even pre-independence, as such, wow. You know, there was a school meals. There was an Education Act that brought in sort of milk and school and sandwiches and stuff like that. Actually, recently, last week, I was down at an event in the Liberties College there, down near St. Patrick's Cathedral, and that building used to be known as the Baino. You know, and the Baino is where the local kids used to go to get a sort of mug of coffee or a mug of cocoa and a bun, you know. And the word Baino actually comes from a bean feast. Do you know what I mean? So they felt they were having a bean feast here or whatever, you know what I mean? They're a free meal sort of thing. But then I think it's 1977 that the milk, the free milk, you probably, I don't know if you remember,
yeah, I do.
Or whatever, the free milk coming in. But there was free milk, and in certain schools, like particularly schools that would be deemed to be near the disadvantaged area, there would be various sandwiches and all that sort of stuff. And a similar, like she was talking to this with my wife, and she was up in the Navan Road, and she remembers having sort of sandwiches. But she remembers particularly sort of Friday, they used to get this sort of fruit bun. And she was sort of similar to my mother in that she had all these great, her mother was a great cook, but suddenly there was something exotic about this sort of industrialized bun, you know what I mean? That she'd not respect. And all the lovely cakes her mother was making at home, you know.
Because apparently the school milk scheme is still on the go, but very few schools take it up now. I
suppose there's, you know, it depends, and there's within certain societies and all that, people can be quite particular about what they want their kids to eat and all that sort of stuff. Do you know what I mean? And I suppose there's a bit of snobbery sometimes, and a bit of sort of class being shown off in sort of and values, you know, being shown off in what goes into the school meal, whether it's organic this or free range that or whatever. But as you said, that bit of fruit is probably going to come back as well. You know,
oh yeah, or you'd find it 3 days later in the bottom of the bag, and it's stinking. Yeah. That's the worst thing. But they're
one of my friends, he was a principal out in Baldoyle, and he had a great story about, you know, that, you know, they used to get the sandwiches and the milk and all that sort of stuff, but on a Friday they used to get a chocolate muffin, right? And seemingly some nutritionist, you know, figured out that actually, you know what, this chocolate muffin isn't good for the kids. Like, it's probably too big. Probably all they had to do was make it a smaller muffin and everything would have been grand. So they stopped this chocolate muffin. But anyway, didn't the kids decide to go on strike? And they staged the sit-in. You know, they sat down in the yard and crossed their legs and started, you know, giving out sort of thing. So anyway, Donald, who was the principal, was called out to deal with what was happening, you know. And he asked him, he says, what are you sitting down for? What's going on? And they explained that they were complaining the fact that the chocolate muffin was taken away. And he says, you know what? I love them chocolate muffins. I fully agree with you. So what he did is he sat down, crossed his legs and joined them.
That's good. That's
a good teacher.
That's a good example of people power and excellent teaching as well. Marcin,
democracy. Teaching democracy.
Marcin, thanks a million for talking to us today. It was Marcin McInimra there. He's a chef, culinary historian and chair of the Masters in Gastronomy and Food Studies at TU Dublin. A few comments on that. Lunch was as much about trading as it was eating in the 1970s, indeed, yeah. All this talk of school lunches has me craving thick slices of homemade Irish soda bread. Nothing fancy, just fresh from the oven with real butter melted into it. God, that's nice lunches you had. School tours, the highlight wasn't the destination. It was getting a Dairy Lee Lunchables in the lunchbox. We only ever got them for special occasions, so opening the box and the bus felt like pure luxury. Yes, because they were fierce expensive. Like, you couldn't, you know, afford to get them for the kids every day. And Billy Roll as well. That was another thing I remember. White sliced pan with the most... Oh, no. Fitz says, white sliced pan with the most god-awful sandwich spread. It's a wonder I'm still alive in my 60s. Yes, I do remember sandwich spread. Sandwich spread, it always, to me, looked like somebody threw up in a jar and then they resold it to people to spread on their bread. He's wrong. Bread and jam on a Friday, fruit bun on a Wednesday. We got it in the 1960s. Well, I suppose different schools had different traditions there. And sure, we're all, it didn't do us any harm, etc., etc., etc. Ooh, I hurt all over.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.